and there's the girl to start there, and Neil Young with Hearts of Gold in honour of Canada Day, almost forgotten. 1st of July, happy Canada Day to our Canadian listeners. Also being the 1st of July, we got our regular weather update from Peter and Megan Yoss. We've all had a fairly short-term memory, so our memory of the month of June will be one of our recent hot sunshine, but we will have forgotten the heavy thunderstorms earlier in the month, which pushed our monthly rainfall up to 365% of the normal amount in June. Certainly, recent warm temperatures have raised the monthly average to 2.6 degrees above normal too. We're now halfway through 2020, so it's useful to look at the year so far. This month's excess rain, in addition to May's excess, 328%, means that overall this year, we've had 121% of our usual rainfall, quite a useful extra amount, so drought measures here look unlikely. Now, the year has been 2.3 degrees warmer than usual, in keeping with recent changes in the climate. Yes, I was just reading France had its warmest starts of the year on record this year. Thank you, Peter. 8:15.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Woofer of the Week time. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Good morning.
Excellent. Okay, now what have we got this week, please?
Well, are you familiar with the Irish saying, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all?
No.
Well, it can certainly be applied to this week's little woofer. His name is Bugsy, and he's not had the best start in life. He's a griffin crossed with something else. He's about 5 years old, and he was adopted from the refuge a few years ago. And then really sadly, his owner died quite suddenly, and so he finds himself back there again. He's a medium-sized dog with a beige wiry coat. He's affectionate and cheerful, and griffins are lovely dogs. They have such a nice nature. Like all dogs, he likes being walked up to an hour a day. He pulls on the lead a little bit, though, so he needs someone who can patiently show him how to walk nicely. And it would be great if Bugsy could have a garden to call his own. He gets on with other friendly dogs, male and female, but not with cats. And he's at the Refuge de l'Espoir in Mougins. You can call them on 0493654411 to find out more about him and maybe arrange to see him. And they are open on from Monday to Saturday, 1:30 to 5. And they ask, like all the refuges at the moment, that you respect social distancing and wear a mask. And if you can call ahead before you visit, even better.
Poor old Bugsy, eh?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It's a sad one this week.
I like to be walk for 1 hour a day, but I don't pull on the lead.
There'll be plenty of takers then.
Unless we're happening to pass by a bar or something. Thank you, Dawn. Talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Bye.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Viera Radio.
The Full English Breakfast Show. The British Prime Minister Boris Johnson made a keynote speech yesterday. Here's a brief excerpt.
Well, I think this point really... hello and crikey and gadzooks and and good after morning and hello readers of Great Britain. This is your beloved, beneficent, democratic-ish Prime Minister Boris Johnson, with an important message. Now, some ingrates have published the secret diary of Boris Johnson, aged 13 and a quarter. Now, naturally, this diary is a fake. A dreadful, horrible, lousy fake. In addition to being scurrilous, libelous, and insulting, and written by bounders and scoundrels. So, please do not purchase this thing. I swear on my life and the £350 million we'll be giving to the NHS that I did not write this publication. Thank you for your benevolent cooperation. And remember, do not buy the secret diary of Boris Johnson, aged 13 and a quarter. I forbid you to purchase it. Bah!
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Morning, Bobby.
What are you up to?
Not up to anything.
Oh, I know you're up to something. Hard. When you call me Bobby, you got some kind of thing ready for me this morning. I'll be on my guard.
I haven't, I promise.
Okay. All right, markets. Best of day yesterday. We were all scratching our heads as to why. I mean, coronavirus cases spiralling in the United States and elsewhere in the world as well.
Yeah, it's a difficult one to bring together in terms of the economic backdrop, the economic uncertainties, the medical uncertainties that remain in place against the strong performance that I think we're seeing from equity markets. Equity markets, of course, had a very strong second quarter, the best quarter in more than 10 years. Investors have been embracing the better economic data that we have been seeing. If you look at US consumer confidence numbers, were very strong yesterday. We've seen good retail sales numbers. Activity levels have been picking up as countries unlock their economies. China's very much seen as a blueprint for that. But there are these underlying risks that remain, and that, of course, particularly revolves around the path of the pandemic that could disrupt the reopening of economies and indeed the economic backdrop, have negative consequences for companies, and therefore I think change the sentiment that we see around equity markets. But it has been very positive. Equity markets, of course, bottomed out in the first quarter. They surged in April, in May, in early June, become a little bit more range bound, I think, recently. But investors continue to believe that the backdrop will be helped by the overwhelming fiscal and monetary stimulus that's been put in place. Analysts still believe that earnings growth is on the cards for 2021. And in fact, earnings will recover next year to levels seen in 2019. How realistic that is, I think, it remains very debatable. You've got to be able to, you have to ask yourself, I think, is it really likely that companies will be able to make the same amount of money? Will margins hold up in the same way, given the fact they will have to put in protocols to deal with the effects of the coronavirus for a prolonged period of time? So I think we've got to be a little bit realistic around this one. So good performance. I think investors need to be thinking about diversification. They need to be thinking about hedging some of those positions that performed very well.
Did you watch Boris Johnson's keynote speech in Dudley yesterday?
I didn't watch it live, it has to be said, but I looked through some of the thoughts and some of the initiatives being put in place.
Big on rhetoric, short on detail.
Well, it was a £5 billion investment programme over the course of the next few years. Massive infrastructure projects. So there's lots of hopes, lots of expectations, putting money into schools. But actually, when you break it down, it's only like £20,000 per school. And there's money for prisons, for rail, for road networks as well. So the idea is, of course, to get the economy going, to improve the infrastructure, retool the UK workforce for the future. Whether that can be achieved in the time frame given with the money that's been suggested, as I say, does remain a little bit debatable.
Yeah, well, I mean, £5 billion isn't going to go that far. As you just said, it's only £20,000 per school. And who's going to foot the bill? I mean, are the government going to tender these contracts out to private companies who will then sort of hopefully take on more employees to get the economy going again? But it's just going to pile more onto the national debt, isn't it?
Yeah, it piles more onto the national debt. As you say, the numbers sound large, but they don't go very far. I was reading yesterday, it cost somewhere around £30 million to build a mile of motorway. So when you put that in some sort of perspective, the money goes very quickly. Is it the New Deal, the Big Deal, the Roosevelt-type New Deal that was been heralded in some political circles? I think it probably takes it a little bit too far. But it will help in terms of job creation, and that's going to be really important because the UK is at a crossroads, I think, when it comes to the employment picture. We heard a little bit about this on the Bank of England yesterday. There's now 9.3 million people furloughed, 2.5 million self-employed who are claiming income support. What does that mean? Half the UK's workforce is currently unemployed or underemployed. As that furlough scheme tapers, there's going to be a real choice for businesses. Are they confident enough to hold on to their staff, or are we going to see numbers cut in such a dramatic fashion that would really put pressure on the UK economy and particularly on household spending?
See, if somebody had stuck a Jeremy Corbyn mask on Boris Johnson yesterday for that speech, everyone would have said, hey, he's mad, absolutely mad, it'll never happen. But because Boris Johnson said it, it's all okay.
Well, it's different. It's a different type of conservative. It's a different time in which a conservative leader is operating, I suppose, and desperate times call for desperate measures. There are some significant risks around the proposals that have been put in place. The good news is, of course, in the short term that borrowing is very cheap. Interest rates remain very low. So in some ways, the business person in you would say, well, now's a good time to do that. The economy needs it. And of course, the hope is that you'll generate enough economic growth to pay off some of the borrowing that you're taking on.
I can't see how it would work. I mean, if governments are offering tenders to private companies, then that would allow them to take more people on, pay more into the tax system and get things going again. So, yeah, possibly a grain of truth in it.
Yeah, it creates this virtuous circle that continues to drive the economy forward. And there should be some long-term benefits from that, so as long as, we've said before, these projects are executed in a timely fashion, in budget and in an efficient way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the major problem is the retraining. I mean, that's going to cost billions and billions because people, especially working in the hospitality and service sectors, are not going to have jobs when this is all over. And you can't just tell them to go and sort of lay some piping, can you?
No, exactly right. You know, we've got to get... And to be fair, the UK workforce needed this anyway to meet the challenges of the modern world. We know we can't be a low-cost manufacturer. If service sector, the important sector, is under pressure, then you've got to create new jobs, and that's got to be in technology and towards manufacturing, something that we've been poor at in the past.
Yeah, and as Mr. Johnson was speaking, the UK GDP figures were coming out, and they don't make pleasant reading either.
It was a miserable first quarter. It's going to be a horrific second quarter. Some signs that after that things could be looking a little bit better, according to the Bank of England. Britain's economy shrank by the most since 1979 in the first quarter. As businesses closed and households slashed their spending, GDP shrank by 2.2%. Worse, of course, is expected. The first quarter data only contained a few days of lockdown. For the second quarter, Bank of England forecasting a 20% contraction. Put that in some sort of context, it's the worst that we've seen in three decades. But after that, the Bank of England's chief economist said the UK is recovering faster than previously thought. They, in fact, going as far as to say there are signs of a V-shaped recovery, saying we've seen stronger consumer spending and aggressive stimulus starting to filter through to the economy. There are risks, he pointed to, particularly a surge in unemployment would throw that off, and also pointing to a risk of inflation down the line, something that we've been talking about, and clients should be aware of that. UK inflation low at the moment, down at 0.5%. That's the lowest that we've seen in 4 years. But they say inflation could be significantly higher over the next 2 years, and may think about, or the Bank of England may be encouraged to start thinking about raising interest rates at that point. So there's I think, lots of potential for price rises to start to push through as the global economy changes in terms of its shape. And of course, we start to see the elements of manufacturing that was previously done in China brought back to closer shore or onshore, and that has implications for cost. Social distancing and all those other protocols will have an impact in terms of productivity and activity as well, and that could be reflected in prices.
And Mr. Johnson refused to say whether people like you are going to have their pockets felt by the Treasury to pay for all these new things.
Yeah, no signs. He doesn't want to be hinting at tax rises at this point, one would suspect. Obviously, eventually you have to believe there will need to be a reckoning, which will involve higher taxes at some point, and of course lower levels of government spending. The question is, how do you balance that? Do you take the risk and go all in, and you say, well, we don't raise taxes at the moment, we continue to run the UK nation's finances pretty hot in the hope that it does provide this immediate boost to growth that, as I say, can offset some of the negative elements that have been put in place as a result of this unprecedented level of stimulus.
You'll be on the next flight to Switzerland then.
I don't know when the next flight to Switzerland is, to be honest with you. I've been debating that for the last few days in our household.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 123.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 112. You can get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Shocking swimming accident statistics from the south of France show there have been 8 deaths in a week. The latest fatal accident involved a 6-year-old man who drowned while swimming off a Cannes beach on Tuesday. On Monday, a 90-year-old woman died after being taken ill while swimming off Salon du Var. Water safety experts are reminding the public of basic rules to follow when swimming in the sea or a private pool. Parents are urged never to leave children unattended and to get them to learn to swim at the earliest possible age. Anyone swimming should also tell somebody else before they enter the water and, where possible, stay in sight of beach lifeguards or monitors. Accidental drownings cause more than 1,000 deaths in France annually, and statistics show that 1 in 5 French adults can't swim. The new Green Mayor of Valbonne has said he will take time to negotiate with the developers of the controversial Open Sky Commercial Centre before deciding how, if at all, the site should be developed. The French President Emmanuel Macron has expressed his willingness for there to be a moratorium on all commercial developments as part of his commitment to an environmental rethink. Then Mayor Joseph Cesario says that will allow the town council a valuable breathing space. Mr. Cesario says he's written to the president to urge such a moratorium, but he hasn't definitely ruled out development of the open sky site at Les Clozon, but insists it must be environmentally friendly. The open sky development has caused widespread anger among local residents, who question why another commercial development is necessary in an area that's already well served through Cap 3000, Polygon Riviera and various other commercial centres and hypermarkets. Air France is to double the number of flights to and from Nice Côte d'Azur Airport between now and August. The south of France is the most popular domestic holiday destination for French people who've decided not to go abroad this summer. And with the EU lifting travel restrictions for some countries where the coronavirus risk is considered low, there's a need for an increased number of flights. The move should help tourism and local businesses to increase turnover after what's been a very difficult 3 months because of the pandemic. Air France should be offering 70% of its normal capacity at Nice by the middle of next month, and the regular Orly shuttle service will resume on the 1st of September for business travellers. Authorities say there's no new speed camera on the A57 near Solier-Pont, despite widespread rumours on social media. Bogus reports said the new radar had been set up on the westbound side of the road, but the Var prefecture says it's fake news. Authorities say they're obliged by law to erect a warning sign to advise motorists in the event of a new speed camera being installed. Several new generation speed cameras are due to be set up on roads in both the Alpes-Maritimes and the Var before the end of the year. The new cameras will not only be able to detect speeding, but also a range of other offences such as the use of a mobile phone or not wearing a seatbelt. And the legendary Scottish rock group Simple Minds have rescheduled their Monaco concert for the 23rd of July 2021. The band, whose hits include Don't You Forget About Me, Waterfront, See the Lights and many, many more, had been due to play at the Salle des Etoiles on the 7th of August, but had to cancel their tour because of the coronavirus pandemic. People with tickets for the 7th of August should contact the vendor or call the SBM Direct on 00377 9806 3636. In national news today, rumours that an armed man had been seen on the streets of the Défense business districts of Paris on Tuesday caused brief panic in the French capital. Police sealed off several streets in the area following a call to authorities at lunchtime on Tuesday. The large police operation caused panic and saw children confined to their classrooms in local schools. An extensive search of the streets and a local shopping precinct failed to find any signs of an armed man, and the area returned to normal during the afternoon. The former French Health Minister, Agnès Buzyn, has been questioned by a parliamentary commission looking at how well France had been prepared for the coronavirus pandemic. The former minister, who quit her role to fight the Paris municipal elections for Emmanuel Macron's La République en Marche party, where she was defeated by the incumbent Anne Hidalgo, said in January that France was extremely well prepared to contain the virus just 3 weeks after the first cases were reported in the Chinese city of Wuhan. Agnès Buzyn says she alerted the director of the French National Health Agency about the new coronavirus on the 20th of December last year and informed President Macron on the 11th of January. The key question which the former minister is facing is why there were not enough initial stocks of PPE and face masks in France. Stocks had dwindled from more than 1 billion surgical masks in 2010 to 117 million at the start of 2020. In addition, stocks of other PPE items such as gowns and aprons had been allowed to run up to unacceptably low levels. A number of other former health ministers also due to be questioned by the commission, including Marisol Touraine, Roselyne Bachelot and Xavier Bertrand. Meanwhile, France reported 30 new deaths from COVID-19 on Tuesday, bringing the total number of deaths since the start of the pandemic to 29,843. 602 people remain in intensive care, with 8,536 receiving hospital treatments. And the French government's investigating more than 12,000 cases of unemployment fraud linked to its coronavirus financial rescue package. Reports say four firms have already been identified for making false claims and are being sued. The French Employment Ministry says as many as 850 firms are being investigated for possible fraud. 12,000 inspections of company books have already been taken, and authorities are aiming to complete 50,000 audits by the end of August. Sanctions for offenders include two-year jail terms and fines of up to €30,000. Firms found guilty will also have to pay back any government aid and be barred from receiving any more for 5 years.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, there was one game in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello from Colm Harrison at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester United have maintained their push for a Champions League qualification place. They won 3-0 at Brighton & Hove Albion on Tuesday to move to within 2 points of the top four. Simon Brotherton reports.
Manchester United now unbeaten in 15 matches in all competitions, 8 of them in the Premier League. A convincing victory on the South Coast. Mason Greenwood set them on the road, 2-3 points. Bruno Fernandes added two more either side of half-time. Brighton falling to their heaviest home defeat of the season. Brighton & Hove Albion 0, Manchester United 3.
Leicester City's home game against Crystal Palace on Saturday could be postponed or moved to a neutral venue. A spike in COVID-19 cases in Leicester has led to a stricter lockdown measure being imposed in the city. Meanwhile, Leicester visit Everton on Wednesday, but the Everton manager Carlo Ancelotti has no problem with a game at Goodison Park going ahead.
No, we don't have any concern. I think that Premier League protocol gives us the confidence that everything will be okay. We are not happy, of course, for the city of Leicester that is in lockdown, but we are not concerned for this.
Manchester City's German winger Leroy Sané is on the verge of joining Bayern Munich. The two clubs have agreed a fee of $55 million, which could rise to $67 million with various add-ons. 24-year-old Sané, who joined City from Schalke 4 years ago, has played just two games this season because of a knee injury. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Yes, so four games tonight in the Premier League. Arsenal play Norwich, Bournemouth host Newcastle, Everton play Leicester and West Ham host Chelsea. In the English Championship last night, Millwall and Swansea drew 1-1, Barnsley beat Blackburn 2-0, Cardiff and Charlton drew 0-0, Reading lost 3-0 at home to Brentford, QPR went down 2-1 at home to Fulham, Leeds and Luton drew 1-1, and Wigan beat Stoke 3-0. Leeds topped the table with 75 points, ahead of West Brom, who have a game in hand on 71. Brentford, Fulham, Nottingham Forest and Cardiff are in the playoff places. Formula One, Ferrari have been forced to make a major redesign of their car as a result of flaws discovered since it ran in pre-season testing in February. The car will run in pre-season specification at this weekend's opening Grand Prix of the season in Austria, with an upgrade for the Hungarian Grand Prix on the 19th of July. Team principal Matteo Binotto said work on understanding why the car was off the pace had led to a significant change of direction in terms of development. Doesn't look like they're going to get off to a very good start, does it? And in cricket, it's been confirmed that Ben Stokes will captain England for the first time in next week's first test against West Indies in Southampton. Joe Root is missing the match to attend the birth of his second child. Stokes says he's delighted to get the captaincy and will not change his style of play.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
The coastal area is up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracim and the Var. The general situation is a depression, 1,009 millibars between the Balearics and Sardinia. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Partially cloudy in coastal areas, some scattered thunderstorms inland this afternoon, light variable winds. Temperatures 27 to 30 degrees across the region. Overnight lows 21 degrees on the coast, 18 degrees inland with clear skies. Thursday and Friday, fine in coastal areas, some showers inland tomorrow. Possible thunderstorms in coastal areas on Friday, highs of 27 to 31 degrees. Finally, changes in young people's eating habits tracked during the lockdown in England show both increases in snacking and families eating together. Research has found 60% of young people thought more shared family meal times were positive for health and well-being. Young people in the study said they wanted to keep having meals together. The research from the Guy's and St Thomas's charity and the Bite Back 2030 Healthy Eating Charity studied over 1,000 14 to 19-year-olds. Now, the youth co-chair of Bite Back 2030 is Christina Adan, a 16-year-old Londoner who set up the petition for free school meals over the summer holidays, which footballer Marcus Rashford supported. I don't want us to be the victims of endless fast food advertisements and celebrities endorsing stuff that everyone knows is bad for us, she said. I want to be part of a world where our health is the priority of the food industry. You know what? I finally found some sour cream and onion Pringles in my local supermarket last Friday. After they'd been missing since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, on Sunday I thought, oh, I'll just have a few Pringles. I opened the pack and half of them had been eaten. I wonder who did that.